Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I want you to know that the mothership has landed.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
What's up, my brother? I want permission to come aboard the mothership.
Asking permission to join a sports talk spaceship? Well, we're all a little crazy. The mothership has connected.
The mothership.
Let's go,
man. I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you, boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. So we come to you live from the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans studio. Rocket Mortgage with you every step of the way to provide a seamless mortgage experience. Coming up this hour, James Harden and the Rockets lose to the Lakers. I should say lose to the Warriors yet again. What does this mean for James Harden's legacy? I mentioned the Lakers because we're also talking about what a nonsensical circus that has become, that they hire Frank Vogel over the weekend and yet install Jason Kidd as his assistant coach, so he's not even allowed to choose his own bench. You think Jason Kidd might end up as the head coach here soon? Man, nothing with the Lakers would shock me, but it wouldn't even shock me if Jason Kidd is the head coach by the All-Star break next year. You have already chopped Frank Vogel's authority out from under him, by installing a guy that's been a head coach here in the NBA and has played on a dream team, an Olympic team, with LeBron James. I mean, does Frank Vogel have any shot of success? But let's talk about Kawhi. Can we play the Kevin Harlan highlight from last night, because Harlan just nailed it, didn't he, on the TNT broadcast? Kawhi Leonard hits the shot of all shots, the mother of all shots. We've been ranking the great shots in NBA playoff history this morning. Now, that had never happened before, which is kind of hard to believe. A Game 7 game winner at the buzzer. It had never happened before where in a Game number 7, a shot went up and went in at the buzzer, no time left, and the team moved on. He does it over the outstretched arms of a 7-footer in Joel Embiid. It bounces a million times to the rim and then finally goes in. Kawhi Leonard now owns a piece of one of the greatest moments. He owns one of the greatest moments in Toronto sports history.
It's off to Leonard, defended by Simmons. Is this the dagger?
Kevin Harlan on TNT, what a phenomenal call. That's the Raptors equivalent of Joe Carter's home run. That is one of the great moments in Toronto sports history. Granted, it's the second round of the playoffs, but for the Raptors, who have never been to an NBA Finals, that's the best moment in their franchise's history. That's the most exciting "do you remember where you were" moment in their franchise's history. Is Kawhi, in about a month and a half, going to leave Toronto after that? I don't know. I really wonder if that makes it impossible for him to leave. Now, to guess what Kawhi is thinking, or to think that he is going to go some conventional route and abide by normal social norms is fool's errand. Let's face it, you never know what Kawhi is thinking. You'll never know if Kawhi is thinking the same thing today as he is tomorrow. And what he's thinking today might have no impact on what he'll feel on July 1st. But that's the type of moment that seals you in a city. I mean, he does that at home. He does that in Toronto in front of the home fans. He is immediately mobbed by his bench. He's being hugged and loved and screamed on, etc. And on top of it, he lets out that primal scream that we never see, ever see a roar like that from Kawhi. And he's doing it as 20,000 fans are on their feet with a deafening scream and his teammates are mugging him. He'll watch that forever. He has won a championship. He has been an NBA Finals MVP in San Antonio. But is there a more iconic moment than that for Kawhi Leonard? No, that's his moment. And he was brilliant in the NBA Finals against the Heat and LeBron. Brilliant. But in terms of a singular moment, you'll always associate him with that moment. Is he going to leave that franchise, that city right now? Makes it at least harder. It has to make it at least harder. For normal human beings, it's got to make it at least harder. Saying, God, I had that moment. I felt that joy. I did it in front of this city with this team, my teammates, this organization. And 6 weeks later, I'm going to leave? I don't know. I think it makes it harder. And I've felt all along like the Toronto Raptors had a pretty good shot at keeping him. Why? Because everybody that points him in the direction of Los Angeles, team up with LeBron with the Lakers, or go back home to the Clippers, and this and that, he doesn't want chaos. He doesn't want soap opera. He dealt with that last year in San Antonio, and the Spurs are the least dramatic organization. He certainly doesn't want to walk into a situation that's more dramatic or overly dramatic or unnecessarily dramatic. And I think Toronto gives him kind of the perfect cover to be Kawhi Leonard. It is not an in-your-face, glitz and glamour American city. It's diverse. It's huge. It's a great city with a lot of options and a lot of people and a lot of different cultures, but it's also a hockey town first in a hockey country. And Kawhi, it's just not an organization that needs to be glitz and glamour. It doesn't need to be Hollywood. And I think that kind of perfectly fits Kawhi. Now, had they lost in this round, had they lost to the 76ers or lost in the first round, I think Kawhi would have been properly frustrated and said, you know, I want to win and I don't want, it's not going to happen here. I'm not going to waste my time here, because what is very obvious is that Kawhi's not doing this for his own show. He's not doing this for his own ego. Kawhi just loves to play basketball and does it really well and is intense about his craft. He does not need notoriety. He does not need social media followers. He does not need that attention.
Facebook right now.
I think Toronto gives them the perfect cover for all of that. But also, now you have that shot, and it's one of the greatest playoff shots in NBA history. No ifs, ands, or buts. It's one of the greats. 855-212-4CBS is the phone number. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter as well, DA on CBS. Iceman tweets, DA, who do you think the Curry family is going to be rooting for in the West Finals? It's got to be Portland, right? I mean, I don't know. Can parents choose between their kids? I doubt it. I think they're probably equally thrilled and happy that two brothers are playing, but also it's going to be gut-wrenching for them. I know who the rest of America will be rooting for. We're all Portland Trail Blazers fans now. And the Blazers are an eminently likable team, completely likable. And I have to say, the Warriors became more likable by the simple fact that they lost Kevin Durant, because it showed what they have to do now to get back to greatness. And I think it's really interesting. In Game 6 against the Rockets was a great moment for the Warriors and a great moment for Steph because of what he did in the second half and overcoming the loss of Kevin Durant. But also, and I hate to be the cold water, and I don't mean to do this, but this is how I really feel, it underscores and highlights why Kevin Durant and the Warriors sucks. Is because the moment they lost Kevin Durant, the moment that he's no longer on the team, not playing for them, no longer active for them, the Warriors become their greatest selves. And there's this challenge that they have to overcome, and they can rise to that occasion and rise to that challenge and do it on the road and summon this next level to play with. But what it just shows is when they have Kevin Durant, they don't need to do that. When they have Kevin Durant, they don't max out their effort. When they have Kevin Durant, they don't max out what they're able to bring to the table. So what we've seen over the last 3 years has not been their best selves, which sounds crazy because they've won a champion. They've won two championships and would be en route to another right now. But it just shows that the Warriors never needed Kevin Durant to win championships. And so it just makes it such a waste of time in so many ways. Was it interesting to see Kevin Durant finally win a championship? Yeah, in some ways. Has it been interesting to watch KD grow into this assassin of an offensive player? In some ways. But, you know, Durant doing it within a team that doesn't need him to win a championship, what does it tell us about them? It doesn't really tell us a lot about KD or the Warriors, the fact that they've won this much with him. What it's told us a lot about Game 6, it's far more interesting and it's far more defining and far more illuminating to see what they're able to do without him. What they were able to do in the fourth quarter of Game 5 and then in Game 6 told us far more about what Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, Draymond Green, and that crew is able to achieve. And so I know that people around the NBA will say, you know, super teams are good because it gives us somebody to hate. Polarizing. We like this. I disagree. Because the one beautiful thing about basketball is championships are won by the teams that overcome the obstacles, elevate their own play, find that next level and do it at least four times in a series. It's not a one-off. So you've got to keep digging. You've got to keep figuring it out. You've got to keep fixing it and adjusting. You have to keep working on everything and polishing it, and you have to do it through this entire gauntlet of an 82-game regular season and then the postseason. And the Warriors never had to do that. We never were illuminated with, oh, wow, this is what the Warriors can really achieve. It's just that they were stacked with the most talent and were well-coached and came together and didn't have ego, and that's great. But the Warriors without Kevin Durant tells us so much more about the Warriors than winning a billion championships with him could ever do. When we come back here on the show, James Harden. Is his legacy tarnished forever? He just can't get over the dubs. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
When I think of the mothership, I think of sports, food, gimmicks, something inevitably crazy being said by Mraz, and finally the integrity of honoring a bet.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
21 minutes past the hour, we here on the DA show, you know, we take our bets very seriously. tomorrow, I think you're going to enjoy the DA show. We're going to celebrate. Not telling you what we're going to celebrate yet, but tomorrow we are celebrating here on the DA show, and I think you'll want to celebrate with us. So make sure you're tuned in tomorrow morning, beginning at 9 a.m. Eastern Time, 6 a.m. Pacific. And remember that the DA show's best video clips are always available on YouTube as well. So if you miss anything or want to watch it again, you can always watch the show in YouTube form. Just go to YouTube and search The DA Show. And also check us out on our Facebook page, facebook.com/The DA Show.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
Larry tweets, "The Rockets remind me of Chris Webber's Sacramento Kings, who could never get past Shaq and Kobe's Lakers. This will definitely haunt the Rockets franchise." I think you're right. Now, there is precedent here to a team running into a league champion year after year after year and losing in the playoffs and then eventually getting over that hump. You might remember a young man by the name of Michael Jordan could not get past the Detroit Pistons year after year after year in the late 80s. And finally, they did exactly that in the 91 playoffs en route to their first championship ever. 1988, second round, Pistons in five. 1989, conference finals, Pistons in six. 1990, Eastern Conference Finals, Pistons in seven. Three straight years, the Bulls and Michael and Scotty ran into the Detroit Pistons and could not get past them. And then finally in 1991, the dam broke. And they swept the Pistons out of the Eastern Conference Finals. And that was the inglorious end of the Bad Boys, where they left the floor early because, you know, Isaiah Thomas is so classy. But what did that take? That took the greatest player of all time. It took the greatest player of all time finally figuring it out how to solve the Rubik's Cube of the Bad Boy Pistons. I like James Harden. He ain't Michael. I like Chris Paul. He ain't Scotty. I like Mike D'Antoni. He ain't Phil Jackson. This Rockets team will unfortunately be defined by losing to the Warriors. They've lost four out of the last 5 years to Golden State in the playoffs. And this year, there were no excuses. There was no Kevin Durant for Game 6 in your building. Steph Curry was 0 for the first half. Once Steph didn't make a shot in the first half, the Rockets needed to have a 15-point lead. They needed to take that out of the hands of the Warriors trying to claw back into it. Because remember, being shorthanded without KD for all of the playoff basketball that that Rockets team, or that Warriors team rather, has played, had the Rockets grabbed and seized a 15-18-point lead, I think the Warriors would have taken their foot off the gas and said, okay, let's rest up for Game 7. Let's not expend energy where we don't, it's not worth it for us because we're not going to come back in this game anyway. We'll play for Game 7. And the Rockets never put it out of reach. And they let the Warriors keep hanging around, and then Steph went crazy. That comparison to the Kings and the Lakers is a good one because for three straight years in the early 2000s, the Kings lost to the Lakers. Second round in 2001, they were swept by the Lakers. Conference finals in 2002, they lost in seven. That was the screw job game where every call went the Lakers' way and the Kings totally got screwed. And in 2000, they lost in the first round of the Lakers. Three straight years, they just could not get past L.A. And I think that's kind of a very apt comparison. That was a great Kings team. That was a lot of fun to watch in the regular season and had their window. and it closed. And they never got through. And they couldn't get to the NBA Finals. They couldn't win a championship. And those Kings teams are beloved because they were fun, and they were really the last years that the Kings were good. Really the only years that the Kings were really good. And the Rockets are toying with the same thing. Now, Rockets fans at least have two championships from the mid-90s, but I always talk about the window in sports, and you don't know how long it's going to be open. And it's disappointing, and it's frustrating, and it's sad when it closes. And I was just lamenting the fact that Doug Baldwin and Cam Chancellor retired basically over the weekend. I mean, they were cut by the Seahawks, but that just is the first step before both of them retire. And it looks like Doug Baldwin just kind of did that on Twitter the other day. The window is closed. That Seahawks team can't win another championship. I mean, certainly they can compete with Russell Wilson, but it'll be a totally different team, not the Legion of Boom. The window is closed. And it happens fast. And there's no guarantee that the Rockets end up getting closer next year. I mean, I know that their owner and Daryl Morey are saying, we're going to win championships with James Harden, yada, yada, yada. Yeah, well, I heard the Dolphins say this about Dan Marino a million times. Now, we'll win championships. We'll win them for Dan. We're just going to keep surrounding him with good players, and we'll get there. Yeah. How'd that work out? You don't know how many times you get this shot. Now, Durant leaving the offseason, which let's hope happens, certainly that opens up the door for everybody in the Western Conference. But riddle me this. Now that the Blazers have done what they've done, and now that the Nuggets have kind of proven themselves, and of the Western Conference, you have to imagine LeBron and the Lakers are better than they were this year, and the Clippers have max contract offers put out there, and they might get Kevin Durant, or they might get Kawhi Leonard, or they might get somebody else. Are you ready to say that the Rockets are the best challenger to the Warriors anymore in the West after this year? And then beyond that, I mean, the Bucks are only going to keep getting better. Obviously, wherever Kawhi goes, he's going to make a contender out of his team. The Sixers are close, and Anthony Davis has to go somewhere. Are we certain that this is not the Rockets' last great shot? Because everything had opened up for them. I mean, Durant was injured in your series, and you had the Warriors in your building. I know it was only a game six and still had to win a game seven, but you had 2.5 shots, really. You had the fourth quarter of game five and game six and game seven without Durant, and you still couldn't win. Yeah, I think this tarnishes Harden's legacy. And Harden had a really good game. He had a really good game seven and six, and we couldn't really say that about all of these awful exits that he's had over the course of time. His elimination games in the playoffs have been terrible. He's always been bad in that game. He was not bad in game six. That's the good part. Neither was Chris Paul. He was good as well. But it's not enough. James Harden's a really good player. And he's an MVP. And he's an all-star. And I'm sure he's going to be a very effective player for a while. But you blew the shot. The shot was last year and this year. You had the Warriors. You had a 3-2 series lead, and you lost Chris Paul, and you still couldn't close out because you missed 35, 92, 165 straight three-pointers in game number seven. Then this year, without Kevin Durant, you couldn't take advantage. I mean, how many more cracks do you get at it? You don't get a lot of them. I don't know. I think this will haunt them forever. That's one of those franchise-defining losses. That's one of those career-defining losses that Harden and Chris Paul and the Rockets couldn't even get past the Warriors when they didn't have KD and they were on their home floor.
Grab a surge protector. You're about to be zapped.
I had a buddy, so I turned him on to the DA show. I told him, get on the mothership. And so he does it for a week, and he comes back, and he says, I've heard Mraz talk a lot, and I just as well blindfolded myself and turned on my 600-pound light. I tell him, you're missing the bigger picture. We're getting a taste of the greatest love story ever told, which is the big man and his big appetite.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
38 minutes past the hour. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio, the greatest story ever told. A man and his love affair with food.
As a pop culture phenomenon like myself.
The DA Show every single day, Monday through Friday, 9 until noon Eastern Time, 6 until 9 Pacific. So, the Kawhi shot will end up going down in history as one of the most memorable playoff shots ever. And, of course, Kevin Harlan did an amazing job on TNT last night. But there are some other great calls as well. International radio and TV on the call. How about SPO TV, S-P-O TV, not Eric Spoelstra's television network, but instead South Korean television. South Korean television on the call. There were some incredible still shots taken of that moment where Kawhi Leonard is hunched over on the baseline, watching the ball bounce around and then finally go in. Absolutely incredible image captured that you have a shot bouncing around for so long, you are crouched on the baseline waiting and watching to see what ends up happening with it. Now, how about how it sounded on Toronto Raptors radio?
They get it to Leonard, drives right, down to the baseline, fall away for the win! Got it! It hit four rims and went down. Kawhi Leonard's shot went up in the air. It hit the rim. It bounced on the rim before going through the bucket. Toronto wins 92-90. It's on to Milwaukee and the Eastern Conference Final.
So if you're a savvy radio listener, if you have a sophisticated ear, you might have noticed how that sounded edited. It's because it was. Because after the shot goes in, the play-by-play man starts screaming, and they went off the air. The broadcast went off the air for a moment, out of all of the times. Now, who knows if perhaps it was so loud in that building and they're screaming on the microphone that maybe it overmodulated things and kicked off? Perhaps somebody goes crazy and kicks a plug. Maybe something gets pulled out of the socket. Could you imagine that happening? But either way, right after the greatest moment, the shot goes in, the greatest moment in franchise history, they go off the air for a sec. So listen.
How could it happen?
Listen to this closely, because you will hear the shot go in and the announcer scream, and then after that there has to be an edit.
They get it to Leonard, drives right, down to the baseline, fall away for the win! Got it! It hit four rims and went down. Kawhi Leonard's shot went up in the air. It hit the rim. It bounced on the rim before going through the bucket. Toronto wins 92-90. It's on to Milwaukee and the Eastern Conference Final.
Pete the Body Bellotti, as an engineer yourself, as an audio maven, as somebody behind the board, what do you think happened on that call?
I think they overmodulated too much, and I think it kicked them off. That's my opinion.
Announcers going crazy.
They went crazy.
And the arena.
It could have been a combo. I think it might have been the announcers just kicking it into high gear, and it kicks it off the air. We've heard it over the course of several playoffs in the NBA and NHL. So I'm going to go with that theory.
So that has happened before where announcers.
Not get kicked off, but announcers going above.
Oh, yeah.
And going to static.
But they can overmodulate so much on a radio broadcast that it triggers off?
If you go too loud and it goes too much in the red, it could cause something like that.
Sorry, we're off the air. All right, let's get to the cut line, the stories that did not make the cut.
These stories were left out by the selection committee. Cut from their high school team. The news that didn't make the show. It's the cut line.
First round draft pick, Dwayne Haskins, had his rookie minicamp over the weekend for Washington. And Jay Gruden, his head coach, saying that he's a, quote, treat. They are trying to challenge him by giving him as much of the playbook as he feels comfortable with right now and even a little bit more. But Gruden saying, quote, it's been a treat. The ball jumps off Dwayne's hands. I think he's made some throws that turn your head without a doubt. End of quote. Here is a word of the wise in Washington. Don't overhype the rookie. Don't oversell him. Don't go overboard. You've done this in the past. You'll ruin a young man. Don't inflate the ego. Just play it cool. And every time I hear coaches gloss rookies, I think about Bill Belichick and how he would be so far from that. I mean, he's unwilling to give Tom Brady credit unless he wins a Super Bowl. Jimmy Garoppolo never was going to get a lot of praise in the public eye or the media, let alone a rookie after rookie minicamp. Would Belichick ever say, oh, he's just a treat? The ball jumps off his hand. No! Not everybody has to be Bill, but I do think that Washington has a tendency to overdo things. I think it's better if you undersell the rook right now. It's a freaking rookie minicamp.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Joe Flacco wasn't thrilled that the Broncos drafted his potential replacement in Drew Lock. However, the Broncos have announced that Flacco is right now the quote-unquote starter and that he will get all of the first-team reps at OTAs. And to me, this is such an obvious thing. Like, how could this even be news? Why? You would never bring in a rookie that you didn't even draft in the first round, by the way, and give him first-team reps in OTAs. It's OTAs. We're not even at training camp. We're not even in the preseason. I mean, he's been on the team for like 2 weeks. Of course, Drew Lock's not going to be the first team guy. So I don't know why the Broncos had to establish this. I don't know why this is really news, besides the fact that the Broncos have to establish right now, hey, we're just letting the kid learn. We're not going to thrust him in there too soon. Well, of course. Why would you? There's no reason to do that. It would be ridiculous not to make Joe Flacco right now the first team guy. He's won a Super Bowl. He's played in a number of playoff games. He's been around the league for more than a decade. He should be getting all the first team reps, and Drew Lock shouldn't even sniff the first team for the rest of the preseason. Really? From now until they actually, there should be no time Drew Lock is getting any type of first team reps. It should be all Joe Flacco, and let Lock just be the backup. See what's going on and learn what he can from Flacco as a backup and a second stringer.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
And finally, Charles Barkley tells Joel Embiid to kiss his ass. No, seriously, Charles has been very critical of Joel Embiid and his body language. And he said that Joel Embiid is not acting like a superstar. He's acting like he's on his deathbed. He's showing weakness. He complained so much about being sick. He's draining the energy out of the room. Joel Embiid snapped back and said, Charles doesn't know what he's talking about. He's just saying whatever he wants to. Barkley then said, I've always said he's a hell of a player. If he can stay healthy, he'll be one of the greatest. But listen, I'm going to criticize guys if they deserve it, and they can kiss my ass if they don't like it. End of quote. And Barkley is right. He is paid for his opinions. We like the fact that a former player and a Basketball Hall of Famer is willing to be critical. We don't have that enough in of the other sports. You just don't have guys that are associated with the actual game broadcast that are really willing to go out and criticize players. And so that's what makes Barkley refreshing. He doesn't play favorites. He doesn't really care what you think of him. And he's going to shoot from the hip. So I hope Charles keeps shooting from the hip, because it's what I want from my analyst. When you watch NFL games, do you ever hear a former player on the broadcast, not on FS1 or an ESPN talking head show? I'm talking about, did you ever hear somebody on the broadcast, pregame or postgame, really go after players? No way. So it's refreshing that Charles does that.
So sorry, you've been cut.
Thank you. Goodbye.
Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news. Quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Go to geico.com. In 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. Ask the Pros question of the day brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly. Better parts, better prices every day. And Gary tweets in, DA, do you see the Sixers retaining Brett Brown and maxing out Butler and Harris? I think you have to with Jimmy Butler. I think this postseason he proved that because Embiid and Simmons are still so young and inexperienced, they are also really inconsistent. And so you needed Jimmy Butler to make big shots and to drag that team to where it was supposed to go. But Jimmy Butler can't do everything. And Butler, I think, was asked to do a little bit too much because of Embiid's illness, his sickness, and Simmons just being invisible at times. So I think they're going to have to go all in on Butler, and that's the right move. But I don't think Brett Brown survives this. They had built this team to get to the Eastern Conference Finals minimum. You don't go all in and trade away all of those assets from the process to go get Butler, Tobias Harris, know that J.J. Redick also is going to be a free agent, and not even get to the Final Four. So I wouldn't totally blame it on Brett Brown. I think he's got his flaws as a head coach, but I don't necessarily blame this loss, this entire series on him. But I don't think he survives this because I think they're going to need a scapegoat because they went all in to make the East Finals minimum and didn't even get there. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Nick Nurse, the head coach of the Toronto Raptors, is headed to the Eastern Conference Finals. And he is just a ball of emotions every single show, every single night, rather, every single game, that he really reminds me of a former star of the Police Academy movies.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Nick Nurse is amazing to watch on the sideline. I mean, he strikes me as like, he's like Bobcat Goldthwait in the Police Academy movies.
Get a new business or move out of the neighborhood!
All I really care about now is these guys enjoying this for a few hours tonight.
Attention! I need beer up here! Now!
Like if he had those glasses on, looking kind of cross-eyed, crazy, always flailing his arms.
We didn't play with enough force. We didn't play hard enough.
Ah, it's a rerun! What do you want?
Up in the air, yelling, screaming.
Get a new business or move out of the neighborhood.
I mean, I just am like, that guy's going to be four games away from the NBA Finals? Can we just get a Nick Nurse cam?
Yeah, you got a name. What do they call you?
Dude is out of control. Bobcat Nick Nurse.
What do you want?
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
Senor Pantleg tweets, the Kawhi buzzer beater replay doesn't do it justice on how it went down in real time. I swear to God, it felt like that ball bounced for 10 seconds in complete silence before finally falling through the net. Totally right. It defies all laws of physics, and I think geometry as well in terms of angles. The ball from that angle is not supposed to bounce straight up. And the ball coming down outside of the cylinder is not supposed to bounce back inside the cylinder. We mentioned some really great shots this morning in playoff history. Derek Fisher's shot. Big shot Bob Ori's shot. Ray Allen's three-pointer a couple of years ago in the NBA Finals to save the Heat. Jerry West in the half-court shot. John Stockton sent to the Utah Jazz to the NBA Finals in Houston in 97. And, of course, two Michael Jordan specialties, the shot over Craig Elo in the first round, and then maybe the ultimate shot in NBA history, the push-off on Byron Russell and the jumper that won the 1998 NBA Finals and Jordan's final championship. And now you have Kawhi's buzzer beater in there. You have Damian Lillard's shot in there after the first round. But Kawhi's shot absolutely now becomes an iconic NBA playoff moment. And who wouldn't want more Kawhi and now Kawhi versus the Greek Freak? And how about Damian Lillard, a Bay Area native, taking on the Golden State Warriors? It's good eating. Good eating in the NBA playoffs. Tomorrow, we are going to celebrate a member of our team's absence. We'll describe why coming up tomorrow on the show, so be here for the celebration. Thanks to Connor Green as your executive producer this morning here on The DA Show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel. Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com with the simulcast and Andrew Bogus on your headlines. Tomorrow, Trash Tuesday. We'll see you then. Be good and be good to one another. The Mothership Disconnect.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.